This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Wow. What a difference a series makes. Where goals were hard to come by in the Kings series, this was 9-6. Good guys. Colorado Avalanche up 1-0 in the series. We'll talk about that. That was a crazy game. Maybe one of the craziest hockey games, at least in recent memory, when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Nuggets' future. Sounds like one thing is for sure, but a lot of other things are on the table. Bo Nix's ankle update, top stories. The Bears have lights. We're going to talk to Ed Lamb, UNC head football coach. Connor McGahee, the voice of the Avs, will join us. All that coming up. The whole show starts now.
Hughes for Faber. Had to come to it. Hughes all the way across. Broken up. McKinnon! Got it! Make it 9 for Colorado!
Okay, but playing it back-to-back like that, the horn is really annoying. It's really annoying, Michael. But during the game, it was not. 9-6 was the final. Guys, in this, two of the top defensive teams this year, the Avalanche and the Wild, this was the 10th playoff game ever with at least 15 combined goals and just the second since 1994. There were 5 goals in each period.
I believe there were 14 different scorers.
What? Scorers, yes, you're right. Yeah, for the Avalanche, I mean, look
five
at this.
5 defensemen, I think?
Look at this. You got Jack Drury, Nazem Kadri, Arturi Lehkonen, Nathan MacKinnon, Nick Blankenberg. Cale Makar had 2 after scary time for Cale Makar when he missed a good chunk of the first period. Sam Malinsky and Devon Taves all scored for the Colorado Avalanche. And yet, 9-6, I still don't think Scott Wedgwood was that bad, Michael. There were some weird goals in that game. I mean, one goal for Minnesota just flopped up in the air and somehow ended up behind him. So I know there's people asking, you know, maybe is this the time to put Blackwood in? Maybe for if you're wanting to say for rest purposes, they play again tomorrow night, and then they don't play again until Saturday. So if I'm Jared Bednar, I am not making any kind of changes. I don't want to mess with Scott Wedgwood. I don't want him getting it inside his brain at all that this, the reason it was such a high scoring game was on him. There was a lot of puck watching from what I noticed, a lot of puck watching from the Avalanche. I don't know. I look at a game like that, man. The Wild just got done with a very tough, even though it was six, a tough series against the Stars. The Avalanche, even though it was a sweep, it was still the every game, except for maybe the half of the last one, was a battle, and goals were hard to come by. I kind of look at a game like that. It's the offensive explosion, and the Avalanche looked like the Avalanche from their first Stanley Cup under Jared Bednar in 2022. That looked like that team. But really, there's not a lot of negatives that I can take and point directly at Scott Wedgwood. I thought he was actually pretty good, even though there were six goals scored in this game.
No, you have a track meet, two track meet teams who can score at will. And I think some of those goals were like, you saw a couple of those goals where you have a player going one way, so the goalie has to go that way and respect that, and his stick and the puck go the other way.
Yeah, it was a wild game last night. I mean, the Avs, so they go up 3-0 to start this game. The Avs go up 3-0, and you're thinking, okay, Colorado's, let me finish my thought. You're thinking, a lot of people were thinking this, the Colorado Avalanche are going to get off to a hot start, and they're going to run the table. Minnesota answers quickly with two goals of their own in the first. You have five goals in the first period. Then it's the reverse. The Avs were up 4-2 at one point, and then next thing you know, it's 5-4. To Minnesota Wilds up 5-4. And then the Avs tied it after the second period. We had a tie game 5-5 going into the third period. Then it's the Avs 6-5. Avs go up, we get another goal 7-5. But then Minnesota bounces right back. It's 7-6. And then, of course, at the end, you handle your business. You go up 8-6, and then you get an empty netter, and you go up 9-6, and you win this game. But this was... You're right, Faith texting in. This wasn't a look away from your TV for a second kind of game. Every time I resurfaced back to the game, something crazy happened again. It was a wild game. Wild. But the Avalanche come out on top. I would imagine this is going to round out. We're not, you know, for all you over bettors, don't go absolutely crazy. You have two really good goalies in this series. I can't imagine we're going to see another night. I mean, this was somewhat historic. This has only happened 10 times where you have at least 15 goals in a game, especially when both teams, I mean, I don't say Avalanche are known for a lot of things, but both teams are certainly this season known for excellent defense. And it was just, I think that it was a lot of times you see hockey games where they take their frustrations out physically. And they're just beating the hell out of each other. I think this was one of those games where both teams are taking out their frustration on the net. And you're seeing shots fly. You're seeing the Avalanche certainly not bowing out of this. They go up 3-0. You think mentally Minnesota comes all the way back. And then, that's exhausting. And yet the Avalanche still find a way to control the third period, outscoring Minnesota 4-1. It was awesome. Travis, the new guy, texting in. I know I could have been a better fan, but last night was the first full Avalanche game I watched of the season. And boy, what a game it was. Well, yeah, I mean, welcome. I guess, you know, better late than never. I'm not going to be hockey guy here and say you don't belong if you haven't watched all season. If you are just joining NHL Stanley Cup playoffs because the Nuggets are out, that's fine. Join the party because the Avs... I think they're going to deliver. We'll see how the rest of the series goes. Tomorrow night's going to be interesting. And then they have a long break. They play tomorrow night and then not until Saturday night. So I would say, yeah, tomorrow's a pretty important one because the break is going to be so long. And whoever, if the Avs lose and it's tied and you're tied, the series is tied 1-1, you got to sit on that for a while. If you can get up 2-0 against Minnesota, then they obviously have to mentally sit on that for a while. So tomorrow night's going to be a battle. Watch it be like 1-0. 1-0 Avs win.
That would be great.
That would be hilarious. I wouldn't be shocked if we see exactly that. Yes, Michael.
I was at Big City Roadhouse last night. More details on that later.
Oh, I can't wait.
And when I got to the computer, thankfully it was on HBO Max so I could watch the whole thing.
Okay.
It was 3-0, so I decided to watch the whole thing. I just had this weird feeling that it wasn't going to be 3-0. I had a weird feeling that the Wild were going to come back. I did not see it.
Yeah, they happened so fast.
5-4, though.
Yeah, well, I didn't either. I mean, yeah, I saw it 3-0, and then before you could blink getting into that second period, it's 4-2. You know, and the Avs, they got a little scare there. Minnesota scored 2, but you got up 4-2. And then after 4-2, it's 5-4 Minnesota. What a game by Cale Makar. There were crazy passes in this game. McKinnon's pass to Lehkonen. Some of these passes they were connecting with, Michael, these were things that I just didn't really see in that Kings series. They were trying to get them. They were trying to lead guys, but the Kings just mucked it up. They made things nasty, and it was hard to get clean passes. You were certainly seeing that on the Avalanche side. And then for the Wild, again, very formidable opponent, but you got to think like three of those goals were kind of the puck luck type goals where they're just bouncing all over the place. So that's why I'm not looking at this. That's why you got to watch the full game. You can't just, I always say this with basketball, you can't look at a guy and say, oh, he had 30 points, he had an amazing game. It's not always the case. Same with hockey when it comes to a goalie. Well, he gave up 6 goals. He obviously wasn't that good. If you watch this game, you can make an interesting case for damn near every goal scored against Wedgewood as to why it wasn't really, you know, obviously he wants to save everything, but it's impossible to in certain times, especially when the shots are bouncing off of everybody's sticks and bouncing off the top and then popping off of a helmet and then suddenly into the net. It was a perfect storm of chaos last night in this game.
And one or two of those, Scott Wedgewood was actually screened, so he couldn't see the puck. Another one, McKinnon just flat out botched it and then fell down, and they had a 2-0 run.
Yeah.
So you can't blame Wedgewood. Anyone who says, you need to pull Wedgewood.
You're just not watching it.
Well, I wouldn't have pulled him.
But people that are saying that, though, Michael, because we've been saying it all series, if Jared Bednar truly is going to do what he said, and that was operate with his goalies in a similar fashion than he did in the regular season, then tomorrow night would actually make sense for Blackwood to get a start, and it wouldn't necessarily be any kind of indictment on Scott Wedgewood, but you don't want to plant the seed and say, you know, last time out for Wedgewood, there were 6 goals scored with him in between the pipes. So I would caution against that. There's also a part of me that thinks Bednar said that, but he might just ride this Scott Wedgewood thing all the way through. Because again, if you go with him tomorrow night and it's a decent game, I don't think there's any way he's not going to go Saturday night. So, I mean, and if the Avs can win tomorrow night, suddenly Saturday night, whew, you could potentially get into the sweep conversation. I don't see that happening, but that's the way this thing goes. You take care of what you got to take care of tomorrow night, and you know this could be another series where every game is classic, but it's the Avs finding ways to come out on top. I could see that potentially the rest of the way for the Avalanche, where every game is great, but the Avs just prove to be great down the stretch when it matters the most, and they're winning series, not sweeping everybody, but maybe 5-6. Something along those lines, but every game is just epic.
This was the third time of the year Wedgewood gave up 5 or more goals. So if I'm coach, I keep him in net. Everybody knows it wasn't his fault. Everybody knows, look, the Avalanche ran up against a track meet team, and they didn't handle the puck that well a lot of the time. I'm not going to bench him. However, if I do, think about the rest he's going to get. He's going to have from Sunday night to Saturday to rest after playing. I mean, that was an
incredible— I don't think I'm resting
game.
Him. You just swept the Kings. You got to sit back for a few days anyway. So I'm not— if the rest thing is part of the conversation, I'm definitely not. Now, if it's just a, hey, we wanted to get Blackwood in at some point in these playoffs, we didn't see him in the first round, is this the game that makes sense? I suppose an argument could be made either way, but how about Cale Makar? I mean, it was a little scary there, you know, behind the net when he goes down and he misses a good chunk of the first period.
That was
and
a comes solid back. Hit.
It was a legal. It looked like a legal hit, right? I mean, for the most part. And then for him to come back and score two goals, he was the star of the night. He was the first star in this game. I mean, Mike, take your pick of who you want to select for the star of this one. Because Devin Taves was great. He had a goal and he had three assists. So he and then I thought Marty Natchez was great. He had the little semi breakaway there, keeping his control. This was a fun game, though. See, like me, when it comes to football, give me defense. Comes to basketball, give me a 50-50. When it comes to hockey, 9-6 is a little over the top, but that was. I mean, for a hockey game, it was as close to, if you blink, if you look away, there's going to be some action. What a way to start the second round. I mean, one of the more entertaining games of the year, let alone the playoffs. And the Avs come out on top.
I'll say this, one big criticism I have of them last night is they're 50% on the season in winning faceoffs, 36% last night.
What do you attribute that to?
I don't know. You're playing a fast team and this can always change, but you're playing a very good team in the Minnesota Wild.
I thought the ability, and again, the Avalanche are kind of like a chameleon, the ability to go from the Kings series, which was dirty and messy and ugly, and they just found a way, to then flip the switch to we're scoring three quick goals. Minnesota's going to fire back, ultimately get up 5-4, and then for the Avalanche to respond back to that, that to me is the mark of a champion. Like, remember this switch from the sweep against the Kings to where they are now, the ability to make that switch to from one extreme to kind of another as far as scoring and all that stuff, that to me is a great sign if you're betting on the Avalanche to win it all.
And I've changed my position. I had the Avalanche winning in seven because of this game. I mean, if it was just a close 2-1 game, but this is demoralizing. You have this, you come back from down 3-0, and you're ahead 5-0, and you give it up. You lose 9-6. Mm-hmm. We'll call it 8-6. Empty netter. You lose 8-6.
Yeah.
Plus that empty
net. Tough.
That's demoralizing.
Tough to come back from. That's why you got to take advantage of tomorrow night.
Yeah, the Nuggets went through that same thing. They had that 19-point lead and then lost it. And you have to think.
Why
that
you
got to
bring up bad stuff? Why you got to bring up bad stuff? Isn't this like your Christmas today? By the way, isn't it Star Trek Day or something?
It's May the 4th be with you.
Vulcans or whatever.
Well, I like to say live long and prosper.
Isn't that what they say?
On this day. Even
May the prospers be with you.
Completely different franchises.
Aren't they the same thing? Isn't one just like one part of this movie and then the other part of the movie is like Star Trek and then the second movie is like, now it's Star Wars.
Well,
this time we're in war.
One of them has better movies. Star Wars has better movies and one of them has better TV shows overall, and that's Star Trek because Star Trek's more built to be a TV show.
Of all the things that you could have said, I care least about that one. What the things that you just said.
I'm just saying, like, Star Trek it's very intelligent.
Is really for the smarter fan. And Star Trek is kind of for, like, it's kind of like comic booky and, you know, shallow. Is that true? I'm just asking. This is what I've heard from a lot of people. Is that true?
From a lot of people,
like, just people all over the world. Say it. It's like a big social media thing. Like Star Trek's more, you know, junk food. Star Wars is for, like, your well-balanced meal. Is that fair to say?
You can say that. You'd be wrong. Like, you'd be like, oh, this well-balanced meal of chocolate, broccoli, and arsenic.
So this isn't your favorite day?
No, it's not.
So they're not.
I respect Star Wars, and I do enjoy
the same,
Star Wars.
They're not the same thing, apparently. We're just learning that breaking news, Star Trek and Star Wars are not the same thing. We're just getting this in.
Yes, breaking news.
Breaking news. They are very different. They're all in alien clothes and running around in spaceships, but yes, they're very different.
Well, like the core of the story is Star Trek is a utopia.
Oh.
Whereas Star Wars is a dystopia.
Oh.
Like that's the main difference between the two.
Yeah.
Like you can say, oh, the characters are different.
Okay.
And, you know, the magic and... Star Wars has no scientific value compared to Star Trek. But really, the big difference between the two is Star Trek is a utopia because that's what Gene Roddenberry kind of wanted.
Why?
He wanted like,
why do you just keep going? Why do you keep going?
Humanity's going to grow.
Who's Gene Roddenberry? Who's that? What is that? Is that Captain Kirk's sidekick? Like, what is
that? He's the creator of Star Trek.
Nobody cares.
He's the creator of Star Trek.
Nobody cares.
Like, Star Wars is more realistic to society because... You know, government is evil, and Star Wars, you know, kind of.
Don't try to steal Star Wars Day, okay? This is Star Wars Day.
Don't
steal Star Wars Day. Show them some respect. The Wookiees and Darth Vader and his pal Yoda, like, show them respect, okay? This is Star Wars Day.
I mean, they were pals at one point.
Okay. I don't.
Then they had a falling out.
Yoda and Darth Vader did? Is this after Captain Kirk attacked them with the Titanic?
I never saw that movie.
You never saw Titanic?
The composer Titanic is my favorite.
Stop it. Stop what you're doing.
Late Jerry Goldsmith.
If you guys missed our review, review was pretty fun on Friday, wasn't it? The movie review?
Yeah, now we're doing Star Wars.
We're absolutely. I'm actually going to be out Friday. So
we're doing Rudy.
You guys are going to do Bull Durham on Friday. Derbs and Mike Danson are going to be filling in for the whole show on Friday. I'm excited to hear what they have to say. And then at 1 o'clock, you'll do your review Bull Durham of Bull Durham. It's still baseball month, so we started May 1st. So May the 1st be with you. Isn't that what the phrase is? And we'll do in Bull Durham on Friday.
Breaking news, we're actually doing Rudy.
Zero chance of doing Rudy. There is a zero chance of doing that movie. We want to do good movies. Good sports movies that good, smart sports fans can appreciate. Not Bilbo Baggins playing, you know, defensive end for Notre Dame. Notre Dame is how we say it. Notre Dame. Stop. You're a little much.
Breaking news. No. Rudy is a great movie.
Well, after watching Star Trek, the 14th Continuum, we gotta watch Rudy.
No. No. Absolutely not. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good is, game one. Avs win it, of course. That's the most important thing. But this was an exciting game. Watching the highlights is exhausting. The whole game was a highlight. The bad for me was, the Rockies. I'm like, they're fine. We're kind of hovering. We're stuck here on that 14th win, Mike. Trying to get to the halfway point to the dirty 30. In the Braves series, game one. They were up, like, wasn't it like 6-2 or something? And then they lose 8-6. And then Saturday was rough because it was Sale and Chase Dolander. And Chase had himself a comeback down to earth kind of moment. He didn't start. He came in the second inning. I believe it was actually midway through the first after two runs had already been given up by Bernardino. Chase then went on to he pitched over five innings and he gave up eight hits for six earned runs. And we hadn't seen that game yet from Chase Dolander. And the Rockies lose that one 9-1. And then they lose game three against the Braves are a very good baseball team. And I think they were up in this one too, but ultimately lost 11-6. So now 14 and 21, game time today, which we will have here on KFKA later, has been moved. It was supposed to be at 6:40 tonight. They have moved it back to 3:40 this afternoon because they are expecting, we're all expecting, some crazy weather here in the state of Colorado, and they want to get out of in front of that, want to get it done. So that will start today at 3:40. Sugano is pitching, I believe. Is that correct? That's all I know. I don't know who's pitching for the Mets. We know for the Rockies, at least according to ESPN, it's going to be Sugano's going tonight for this afternoon for the Rocks. The ugly for me is, according to sources that are a hell of a lot more in the know than I am, the Nuggets are pretty quick to say David Adelman ain't going anywhere. And I'm not necessarily saying David Adelman staying is the ugly, but they were pretty quick. But there are developments surrounding the Nuggets story after being eliminated by the Minnesota Timberwolves. A lot to discuss. We got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, going to join us later today. Ed Lamb will join us. It's official. Lights will be up and ready for this upcoming season for UNC football. Ed's going to talk to us about that. They had their spring game over the weekend, so he'll give us, you know, his thoughts on that. Also, the voice of the Colorado Avalanche, Connor McGahee, will join us, and we'll get his thoughts on the chaos of Game 1. All that and more coming up. Keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Tune in to Paul the Waterman, Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave. Own life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder. 35 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling. It's going to be a little bit cooler here in the next couple of days, but then we get right back to warmer days ahead. And, Michael, it's May, so we know we're not that far away from the 90s and getting some of those nasty triple-digit days. Make sure your air conditioner is ready for the summer ahead. Lemons Heating and Cooling, they got free estimates available for you at lemonsheatingandcooling.com, or you can call 970-567-0798. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Coming up in the next hour, it's jam-packed. We got top stories of the day. Mark Johnson will get, you know, his thoughts on the latest in the college sports world, the Big 12 with their big deal coming up, and, you know, the five and five. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but just some big things going on the college landscape, as always. And Mark Johnson not only joins us during the seasons to talk Buffaloes with us, but I like to pick his brain about, you know, the big picture items surrounding college sports. Also, Ed Lamb, UNC head football coach. He and I do Football 52, the podcast, all things Bears talk, but also college football talk. He'll join us in a moment, well, in about an hour, talk about lights coming to UNC. Michael, the football field will finally have lights. What took so long? Depends on who you ask. For years, I heard it was, and it's again, it's all rumor stuff, but the neighborhood surrounding Nottingham Field didn't like the idea of lights, even though like they have lights at their intramurals and they play until like 11 o'clock.
I mean, that's what I had heard all these years.
That money, you know, and I know this was all like an external fundraising plan by UNC. This wasn't, they weren't dipping into the actual funds of the school, which was important because the school is going through some turmoil right now. So to be able to say, hey, we're not utilizing any of the school's money, we're out independently raising this. So I want to ask Ed, you know, kind of why now and why, how did it happen so quickly? Because once we heard, you know, the news report a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that it was going to happen, whether or not it's going to happen this year was really the only question. How did it happen so quickly? And we'll get into that conversation with Ed. And then later on, Connor McGahee is going to join us, the voice of the Colorado Avalanche. So we'll talk to him then. What? Do you have some breaking Star Wars news? Did Darth Vader die? Is he Luke Skywalker's dad? What's going on?
Oh, I, out of curiosity, looked at how much debt the University of Northern Colorado has.
Go on.
$131 million.
How is that compared to other schools?
I don't know, but I didn't expect that.
What did you think?
I'm not, a lot less.
I don't know. I'm not shocked anymore when I see schools are in debt. Like $131 million. It's a lot. I guess it just doesn't shock me. How do you get in that much debt? I guess just not enough students coming in, and you thought more students were going to be coming in. And over time, that just really starts to catch up with you, I suppose, because they're not spending it on their athletics. We know that, right?
It says Michigan's liabilities are $13.1 billion.
Ha! Aren't most colleges, like, running at a deficit? Like, most of them aren't. Even the ones that we see throwing around $40 million out to their rosters and such, aren't they still all kind of just operating in the negative?
Washington only has $2.4 billion
in debt.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Liabilities.
Well, they're also bringing in a lot though.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem with UNC. Like,
they don't have as much, and I know enrollment is
enrollment
down.
Getting any better over at UNC? Have you heard anything? Faith, any updates there? Is enrollment getting any better?
I've heard enrollment's been down for a few years.
It's been down for a while. Yeah.
You know, the best way to get enrollment to go up is to
win football games.
Lower the cost.
Maybe they have.
I mean, all of them should lower the
cost.
Is that a
Greeley thing or is that a national thing?
It's a national thing.
Enrollment down. Who did I hear the other day? Fairly smart person. I can't remember who it was, but talking about, you know, if you have to take out a loan to, if you have to take out a loan to go to college, or if you know, to use credit cards and stuff, don't go to college. Go to community colleges, go to trade schools, or just work for a while, and then you go back later in life, and you might appreciate it more. I just wonder if that sentiment is starting to take hold more and more nationwide.
I went to Ames for 2 years, have no debt. You know, so like it, I believe that you cannot default on college loans. So if you go bankrupt, you still have to pay off those loans.
Mm-hmm.
But the money's already guaranteed to these colleges.
Yeah.
So they get the money no matter what, that's why the cost is going up. Because they can. If you tell them, okay, the money's no longer guaranteed, people can default on their loans, then they go, oh, crap, better stop spending the money on new football stadiums.
Well, and this is why it was so important for these lights coming to the field, that it was very clear to the public that they were not dipping into the funds that the school already had or whatever. This was a completely independent thing. And I guess that's where I look at it and go, man, lights. Like, just for lights, we have to mind our P's and Q's. Like, it does. I love UNC, but it just doesn't operate even close to what the typical colleges we talk. Even the other big sky schools just don't operate the same way. Where it's like the idea of getting lights. Mike, they were one of the only Division I football programs in the country without lights. It's 2026. And it was basically, you want to do it, you got to go earn it. You got to go get that money from outside sources because we can't use any of the funds here. And I get it. I do. But that's tough. They have been behind. I mean, somebody commented on the story over the weekend. It's like, hey, welcome to way to get going with those lights in 2026. It's a big deal. It is, but there's also a lot of people that see that story that haven't been following the Bears go, and they go, they didn't have lights. So I'm pumped for them. I'm happy. Mike, what do you think about this? Like, you talk about lowering the tuition cost. You're a sports guy. Do you really believe, like I do, that if you have a legitimate football program that's winning on a regular basis and attracting crowds, that your enrollment will go up? Some anti-sports people really fight me on this.
I don't know. I haven't done the research. I'm sure it might help a little bit, but I'm sure if you have a serious desire to do a certain field, like if you want to be a nurse,
but
you go to a school that has a good nursing program,
right?
And you look at the cost, and the University of Northern Colorado has a good nursing program, and
correct,
it's a lot cheaper than.
Don't
other
you
places.
Think though that there are more students when they graduate? They don't really have that strong of an idea when they graduate from high school, that strong of an idea what they want to do for the rest of their life. So they just go to school. So they just go to college. And then they take your regular freshman classes, and then they start figuring out what they kind of like. Some obviously have an idea, but a lot don't. And I think for those that don't have it all figured out just yet, they might choose a school based on popularity, location, all of that kind of thing.
How pretty it is. I mean,
Possibly.
A lot of them choose how pretty it is. A lot of them
choose the campus
choose it
is gorgeous.
They got a scholarship there. I don't know how much and I'd love to see a study on it, but like a Pew Research study if they have one of those. But I just don't know how much a popular sports program is going to get you.
I think it can only help. I don't know what percentage of that would drive.
But keep in mind that buried within the cost is going to be student fees, and student fees are going to go to the football team. So that drives up the amount of money that you have to pay.
Yeah, that would be curious. I'd be curious to see a study on that for sure. I know it doesn't hurt. If you do have a good football team, it certainly doesn't hurt. 45 minutes after the hour, Michael, we are due here. We got to jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, so we're hearing, at least, and we'll play back some of this. We'll dive into this a little bit more throughout the show today, but sounds like the Nuggets are going to retain David Adelman. And it was a quick bit of reporting that we were hearing, especially from guys like Shams of ESPN, that the Nuggets are going to stick with David Adelman as the head coach for next season. The plan is, and I think Joker's plan is, for him to sign his contract extension. Everything else is on the table. And that's what my whole minute was about last week. You guys called me crazy for it. Some of you did. Because I said Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, Christian Brown, not that they can move his contract. All of those things should be open for discussion, save for Nikola Jokic. And it sounds like save for Nikola Jokic and David Adelman. Is that a problem? How do you guys feel about that going forward? We'll get into that a little bit later on. We got a busy second hour coming up. Top stories of the day. Mark Johnson joining us. coach of the UNC Bears, Ed Lamb, will join us. All that coming up next here on The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
What is the Dirty 30?
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair.
The boys aren't shaving until the Rockies win 30. Hear Rockies games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. Yeah, we're getting some texts in already asking about off-season stuff for the Nuggets. Who would you like them to go after? Because it does sound like pretty much everybody is open. You know, it's open season. The Nuggets will be listening to everything. We have hit that time, you know, and I never thought I'd be here, but I kind of am. I just don't know if you can roll back. Now, again, when we say everything is on the table, it's not like they're going to replace everybody on the roster. It's not going to be a completely flipped roster. It just means they're willing to have a conversation about everyone, which means there's still going to be a good chunk of guys that come back. It's just maybe the guys with the most value, the Jamal Murrays, potentially Aaron Gordons, maybe we did see their last time in a Nuggets uniform. And that's pretty heavy, bro. It's pretty heavy. They've been here a long time. Aaron Gordon, Mr. Nugget. One of my favorite all-time Nuggets. But that's where we are. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.